There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. 343-251. I've been corrected. Okay, 251-343-0106. That gets you through on a call or a text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can even use that to leave us a talk back message. And it is Veterans Month and continues for the rest of the month. I actually started a little early in October this year. But good to finally, I mean, scheduling this guy. It's like he has a regular job or something. To get him in studio is a great thing. My friend Keith Goodman coming in to talk about his service to our nation. I don't get you pulled close to that mic right there. You can pull it up to you. We were just talking about, and I would talk a lot with you, but the conversation we were just having. Can I say that? Because I was telling you about yesterday with Navy veteran Cody Aloy, who was a dog handler and clearing areas and this and that. And you said, here you are, you fought with men that you don't remember their name, but you remember the dog's name.
I remember Flyer.
Flyer
was his name. He was awesome. He was a lab. He was cool. I can't remember his handler's name to save my life.
But you remember.
But I remember that dog. I miss my dog.
Yeah. So. I mean, well, the number of, you know, I mean, it got to a point where the IEDs, you know, were such an issue, right?
And oh, yeah.
And to think, you know, what was interesting is we got a lot of technology. There's technology you probably saw there that you can't even talk about. There's technology out there that does all kind of stuff. We're in a tech world. But a dog is the best thing for smelling out an IED or anything else. A dog, not a robot or a helicopter or gunshot, a dog.
Right, and it's quicker and more accurate most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild watching it because I never actually saw it in person until I was there. And it was cool to watch because you just think he was playing, but he's like...
Because he's smelling it.
He's smelling. He's looking for it because he wants to make his handler happy.
Yeah.
That's his job, make his handler happy.
He's happy
when he finds something.
You're like, and you're happy that he's there.
Yes, I'm very excited he found it.
Let's talk about this. So, your service to our nation, and also I start off all these conversations with a enlistment story. So, tell me, when did you decide? Were you born knowing you wanted to be a Rakusan? Do you know?
Hey, there you go. No, I wanted to be a truck driver when I was a kid. My dad was a truck driver, and I idolized my dad. So,
right.
You know, that's what I wanted to do. And he said he'd break my kneecaps. So I said, okay, I'll find something else.
All right, Dad, I see you're not down to that idea.
Not down with that. So when I went into high school, all the electives that I wanted to take were full. Well, the only one that was open was ROTC.
Okay.
So I took ROTC in high school.
So there's like so many stories I hear from y'all, veterans, like default, they're like, I mean, just Cody yesterday, he said he was going to go to the Coast Guard like his dad, but it was after Katrina, and they had flooded out the Coast Guard place, but Navy recruiter was still open, so he went to the Navy.
Right.
You were just looking for something.
I was wanting to go to shop, auto body or something.
But it was full.
Yeah, but it was full. So it was like, ROTC's open. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I can do that. Most of my family was Navy or Air Force, but I was like, it was the Army ROTC.
And you're going to do something
so
different.
I said, okay, cool. Well, the first sergeant, the teacher there, he became like a second dad to me. He was awesome.
So, I mean, when you got, I mean, how long was it in ROTC till you went, okay, this could be me?
My senior year.
Really?
After 4 years, I was like, yeah, might as well. And I was going to go to the Air Force.
And?
But me and a buddy of mine were going to go in a buddy system for security specialist.
Okay.
And the Air Force guy said, no, thank you. you were a problem child. I got suspended a lot in high school. So they were like, yeah, we can't have you doing that. So, and then the Army guy outside the door is like, did he say you were a problem child? I've got a job for you, buddy. So I ended up joining the Army. It was cool.
So talk about that. So you go to the Army and talk about your travel through that. So you go in. You're how old at this point? You're senior?
I was 18.
18. What's next?
Well, I went to Fort Benning, Georgia. Infantry.
Like so many of y'all do.
Yeah, you know, Sand Hill, it's a welcoming place, I guess. But I actually had fun. I mean, it was hard. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done at that point. Mm-hmm. But not even a joke, my drill sergeant sent me for a psyche eval in boot camp. Yeah. I thought he was kidding. I thought it was just, you know,
he's just messing with you.
And I said, I got back because I went down there with my sick call slip.
Yeah,
he's like, the guy said, is he serious? I'm like, I don't know. He's never told me a joke, so I'm assuming he's serious. And he's like, just go back. Are you crazy? And I said, no, not that I'm aware of. And he's like, okay, just go back. Just hurry up and get back. So I got back. When we got done, I asked him, when I graduated, I was like, what was that all about? And he's like, bro, I've never seen anybody enjoy boot camp. You were just always smiling. You were having fun. I'm like, I never got to do this kind of stuff. You know, I was shooting guns, kicking through doors, and going to obstacle course and stuff. It was a blast.
That should be like, that's our guy.
Yeah. Well, they were concerned. It was like nobody. Because I was the smallest guy there.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
But you liked it.
Yeah. I mean, it was everything you accomplished, it was just like, I didn't think I could do that. But I did that. So the next day you're waking up going, what am I going to get to do today? You know, throwing grenades, shooting guns. And it was wild.
This is for me.
I mean, people don't talk about that part. Yeah, it was hard. It was really hard. It was like I thought I was going to die most days. I seriously thought my heart's going to explode because I didn't run. I was not in the best shape. I gained 25 pounds in boot camp.
Muscle,
that's all it was. My legs wouldn't. When you get to basic, they take all your civilian clothes, all your gear.
Yeah.
And the day before graduation, they'll give it back to you. So everybody's in.
Oh, then you go put the stuff back.
Everybody's like putting it on. And I'm like,
I can't fit.
I can't get it over my thighs. My thighs are just swollen up.
That's, you know, but what you talk about it being hard, and so many of y'all and veterans, I talk about it. Recently, with what the Secretary of War with Hegseth said, as a civilian, a person did not serve looking, but. That hard thing when you went through and what we're getting back to
right,
is what growing up made me think, wow.
Yeah.
Somebody's brother or something would get back from base. I'm like, wow. Because it was a hard thing. To me, it's like it's a better, and recruiting levels are up. It's better for recruiting to say something's hard than easy because you accomplish something and civilians look at you like, dude, wow.
Right.
You know?
See, that was one thing. It was a sense of pride that you made it through that,
right?
You know,
I mean, from the outside looking at y'all, that's what makes it so cool. Like that person did those things,
right? Right, and it's just the beginning of something else, you know.
Yeah,
if you can get through that, let's see what else we can do.
So, what did they do next when they decide? You know,
so I went to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and you have to go to a replacement company when you first get to your first duty station.
Explain that to us.
So when you get to your first duty station, you go into like just everybody goes into one barracks or one spot.
Okay.
Till you get assigned to your unit. You'll either go to the 502nd, 187th,
okay,
whatever. And so you don't really know. And it was funny, when I first got there, me and another guy were talking about where do you want to go and where do you think you're going to go, because you don't know.
Right.
Well, this one guy had been there for a little while. He worked at the replacement company. He goes, look, as long as you don't go to 187th, you're all right. So as long as you don't go to 3rd Battalion, I mean, if you go to 187th, just don't go to 3rd Battalion. I'm like, okay. Well, 2 days later, I got my order, and it was 3rd Battalion, 187th. I'm like, right on. Okay, cool. Yeah, this is par for the course.
And that is, for people who don't know,
Rockesons, man. The Rockesons are the best.
And the Rockesons, we're going to come back and talk about this. The Rockeson, the name famous. It's a name given by another army to people that purposely jumped out of airplanes and attacked them. We'll continue our conversation with veteran Keith Goodman right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 118 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here, and good to have my buddy Keith in studio. We're talking out of the places the guy told you you don't want to go.
Yeah.
That's where you went.
That was, yeah. That's where I ended up seeing on my paper.
You know, and two of y'all I know, and one of my good buddies, another of you rockasans. That comes from what? The umbrella. What is the story behind that?
When they saw the rockasans jumping into Korea, that's what they thought. It looked like umbrellas come falling from the sky, and that's what it loosely translates into.
Deadly damn umbrellas.
Right, yeah.
So you go, and now you're in. Now you're,
I mean, that's the story.
Yeah.
How true it is, I don't really know. I mean, that's the story. It was told to me years ago. So
it carries some freight going right, forward, yeah. You know. So you go, when do you start jumping out of airplanes?
I did not.
You didn't?
No, we went to an air assault instead of airborne. It's still classified as an airborne unit, but we come out of helicopters. And I'll guarantee you, aerosol school is harder than airborne school.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
it's the toughest 10 days in the Army, so they say. I mean, my platoon sergeant, when I got to a reserve unit, he was airborne. He kept making jokes. And I was like, I'll tell you what, you go to aerosol school and tell me how easy it is. See which one was easier. He failed it the first time.
Wow.
He had to go back a second time.
So as teaching,
never made another joke.
Well, that's a good way to end it.
Yeah.
And you talk about your 3 years of active service. You were saying to me during the news break, some of the really not a ton happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't do anything. It was peacetime. I got out in 99 off active duty. Nothing happened.
And then
9/11 happened. I was like, hey, here we go. So let's go reenlist. So I reenlisted, but I got talked into I went to the recruiting station in Daphne.
Okay.
Because I was just driving by, and I was like, I'm just going to go reenlist. I was like, I didn't get to do anything when I was active duty and all that training for nothing. I just want to go do something.
Right.
So he said, looked at my DD-214. He's like, oh, you're a rockstar. I was like, yeah. He goes, hey, I got something better for you. Let's do this. Go check this unit out. So I was like, what is that? So I went and checked it out, and it was awesome. It was something new the reserves were going to do. It was special operations support for, like, Rangers, Special Forces, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, they didn't have a budget. It was just whatever you wanted to do. You want this school, go.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, that's cool. So after a couple of years of training, we actually got called to go to Afghanistan.
So you deployed? What year did you deploy to Afghanistan?
2006. Yeah.
So now this thing you've been wanting to do, you're going there, and you show up in Afghanistan 2006, man.
Oh, yeah. It was wild.
That's a wild year.
Yeah, it was a lot. Just getting the briefings when you first get there. You go
into Bagram? Where'd you go in?
Well, I had to go to Kentucky first to get training. the wild, wild Kentucky.
Yes.
But to get training on special operations vehicles, things they use that the regular Army doesn't use.
Okay.
I was a mechanic. I was an infantry out on active duty. Blew my knee out, moved to the motor pool, which was the best
move
ever. And Bowman's
man can fix anything.
I try.
Yeah, you can.
But we went, moving to the motor pool was the best move ever, because having the infantry and then the maintenance background, it was awesome. So learned to do that. Then we went to Fort Bragg for a while.
Okay.
Then we went the 18-hour flight through Germany and Turkey and all the stands to get there.
Right.
And then you get all the briefings. You got briefings of what to do and what not to do and all that stuff. Then we get in Bagram. And you're walking around saluting half the day because every officer is there. It's like you're always saluting. So we got all the talks of, you know, you want to know what you're going to do.
Close that mic. There you go.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You want to know what you're going to do, and you ask the stupid questions, because I'm just a specialist at the time. I'm like, hey, when do we get to go do all the cool things I see in the movies?
You ask them.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, all the stuff. He's like, you're not going to do that. That the Colonel Bulldog. He ran for Congress. Colonel Bulldog, he's like, yeah, you're not going to be doing that. You're a reservist. This is the first time reserves have deployed with special operations. You're not going to die on my watch.
Okay.
So you'll be right here in this little bay fixing trucks when they bring them in. Okay. Well,
how'd that go?
After about 3 weeks of us reservists showing up, their active duty mechanics, he's like, okay, so we got this thing we need you to go fix. So go out here with this team and go. So we go. Just ended up staying. Was supposed to go to a firebase for 2 weeks to fix some motorcycles, ATVs, and a couple trucks, and I ended up staying the next 6 months.
At that fire base.
At that fire base. Major Hill was like, hey, man, you just want to stay out here with us? I'm like, yeah, they gave me 2 weeks. He's like, eh, whatever. They'll have to come get you. I ain't taking you back. I'm like, okay, cool. So I just ended up staying. Nobody questioned it.
So you're staying out on the fire base, fix it. You are the mechanic out there.
Yeah, I had three teams that I supported while I was there, and I would go on missions with them, little
right.
humanitarian aid missions and stuff. Nothing too bad.
But you be the Army travels, even in Afghanistan, probably less in other theaters, but traveled on wheels.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I never did understand. I'm like, you know, you got support units, but you don't have a mechanic with you all the time.
Yeah.
When they go out, they got their weapons guy, their combo guy, their all the special forces team guys, but they don't have a mechanic with them, so I just ended up driving.
I was only, wow.
Yeah.
They had a driver / mechanic.
Yeah. I figured I'd go. They were going to go do this or that, and I'm like, yeah, I'll go. I'll drive. Because the first time I met him, first time I was there, was, an E7 came, and he's like, hey, man, I need a mechanic. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll go over there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no. I mean, at the firebase. I'm like, okay. So my platoon sergeant said, you want to go with them? I'm like, yeah, that's cool. He's like, you got 2 weeks, fix everything they got, and get back mm-hmm. to Kandahar. I'm like, okay. Well, we got there. He just said, get in the truck. I'm like, I'm just saying, you're a weapons guy. How about you get on the gun and I'll drive? I'm like, I'm from Alabama. We drive.
Well, yeah.
So I can drive better than I can do the 50.
And your dad told you he didn't want you to be a truck driver.
Yeah, I ended up doing it anyway. But I was like, I trust you on a gun and I trust me on a wheel a little better. So that worked out. So I just kept doing that. And it was cool. I got to meet a lot of cool people.
Yeah. I'm thinking about critical parts of those teams. If they don't roll, they can't do their job.
Yeah, I never understood it. So we just did it. We got in trouble.
No.
Oh, yeah. So I would send, I took a lot of pictures.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'm just going to take pictures. Well, some of the pictures got back to the people who shouldn't have seen those.
Uh-huh.
And so the National Guard got kind of mad that a reservist was out with the team guys. So the National Guard shut our unit down. 816th Forward Support.
You got it shut down?
Yeah, they got mad because we were one other group got to go the next year, the next rotation, and then they shut our unit down. The National Guard took our
good
mission.
Good work, Keith.
Yeah, you know.
Good work, Keith.
Par for the course.
Another buddy of mine, Rakasan, is chiming in here as well. Fire Dog says, here you go. This is, I'd love to just start trouble as a civilian, start trouble between branches. Fire Dog says, well, he got to shoot guns and third grenades in Army boot camp. In the Air Force, we just decided it was too hot to go outside that day, so we stayed inside, sipped some iced tea, watching TV, played some ping pong, and we had one of those Pac-Man arcade games.
Thank you for your service.
Keith is an outstanding guy, great coworker, one of the best in life in his field of expertise.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah,
Bobby's the man. He's a vet. He's a Coast Guard vet.
Thank you to him as well. So many of y'all, you know, and it is a cool thing. I've talked about our community here, and it really was shown to me during the crap that went down in Montgomery.
Right.
When I thought every part of the state would have not just South Alabama Veterans Commission, but a community like we have here, that they would come from North Alabama like that, Northeast Alabama, West Central, East Central, you know, that there would be, and I realized we are different here. Our veterans community is, I don't know if there's just more here or they're just not organized elsewhere, but it's not the same in the rest of the state.
It's not. It's not.
And hopefully they're trying to take the message from here out and get what we have here in other parts of the state, because I wish it didn't have to be a thing, but y'all going to have to band together.
You know, I agree.
And make sure that y'all's voices are heard, not trampled out there. Now, from your position here, what do you tell, you know, there may be some young people listening. Or a few parents of young people thinking about their children are, you know, at that point. What do you say about enlistment now from your perspective, looking in the rear view?
I say do it, at least a short enlistment. You know, number one, it gives you a little bit of structure. I know it's kind of cliche to say serve your country and do it.
No, I don't think
but it's true. If you don't do it, who's going to do it?
That's,
you know,
right.
When I was in Afghanistan, there was a Isaiah 6:8 was on our chow hall wall.
Okay.
And if you read that and understand it, it's whom shall I send and who will go? Here I am, send me.
Mm-hmm.
It's who's going to do it if you don't do it?
Right.
No matter who's the president, no matter who's in office, that changes.
Mm-hmm.
But your service can count for something. You don't know if you weren't, I don't even know how to put this, but if you don't do it, who's going to do it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that was one of my worries, you know, recruitment levels, and they kept, you know, having all these problems. And it was interesting. I mean, to me, it's not counterintuitive, but to others out there, when Hegseth comes out and says, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
That makes, even at 53, I can't do it, but I'm like, okay, now if it's hard, I want to do this.
I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I'm far too old and my body's too broken, but I would go back. I would do it again. I would do it now if I could, but I'm too broken.
but it is. But your message is for that next generation to step up and serve. And you know, when they have an all volunteer army, I mean, this is not a given that we're going to always have full, you know, full recruitment years.
Right.
Now we've changed some things and things are coming back.
And the same thing I said when I was active duty and people complained about leadership. Well, you just got to become leadership. You got to become the guy that's in charge.
Right.
You might be a private now, but you'll be an NCO, and that's who runs the army. I don't care. I don't care what he says.
NCOs
run the army. So just become that.
Yeah.
You know, change. Be the change you want to see.
It's a good thing, and it you know, just from a civilian perspective, things we've done around this radio station are things that way we do things is because I worked for other guys for 20 something years. I'm like, if I ever, you know, we're going to do it this way. And finally, you're like, oh, gosh, I'm the dog that caught the car.
Right.
So be that in the military and be that person. Take those lessons and use them as a command.
Exactly. And when you get out, find you a company to work for.
Yep.
Or do your own, but find something that has like-minded people. You know, it's like where I work now, Taylor Southern Service.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. Best place I've ever worked. There's a lot of military there, like Bobby Acker.
We're glad you're all on it. And,
yeah.
And Keith, thank you for coming in. Thank you for your service, as always, brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, man. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. By the way, this discussion, all our others with the veterans, are all online at fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link for Veterans Month interviews.